This piece was brought to you by Rolling Press, rollingpress.com.
HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Business. Summer is the season for outdoor music. From Coachella in April to Governor's Ball in Bonnaroo in June, Lollapalooza in July, and Outside Lands in August, there's no shortage of great listening to be had. But with those thousands of music lovers and music makers comes an awful lot of waste. What happens to your plates and napkins when you finish wolfing down that amazing pulled pork burrito? It's great to stay hydrated, but if everybody's chugging water, what happens to the bottles? Take your average day of consumption, multiply it by a crowd of fans over the course of a long weekend, and you've got yourself a ton of garbage.
Two of the major issues with bringing public assemblage together, especially in the neighborhood of 65,000 people a day, you're doing 195,000 people every weekend, is the amount of waste that you produce. And that was always our number one challenge and motivation to really create a sustainable festival.
That's Brian Duquette, one of the founders of Outside Lands, which takes place in San Francisco's Golden Gate Park, August 8th through 10th. Environmental awareness and music have been bedfellows for a while, see Woodstock, but logistically implementing the nuts and bolts of sustainability is still relatively new. Several festival organizers I spoke to pinpointed 2006 as the year sustainability became a focus. Duquette has been at the helm of Another Planet Entertainment's sustainability operations since the beginning. He told me that sustainability is one of the five pillars of Outside Lands, which was founded in 2008.
It's interesting, the evolution of sustainability as it pertains to the music industry. And we were always on the forefront at Another Planet. And in fact, when it was vogue to be carbon neutral, kind of in the mid-aughts, the Greek Theater in 2006 became the first carbon neutral venue in the country. And that was our first kind of foray into sustainability at, you know, within our concerts and within our events.
Another American festival that gets serious about sustainability is Bonnaroo, which takes place on 750 acres of farmland in Tennessee. The festival grounds actually become the seventh largest city in the state when around 80,000 campers descend on Tent City for 4 days of music and nonprofit education. Bonnaroo has won awards for their sustainability efforts and are yet another example of the intertwining between the music industry and green initiatives. Bonnaroo, Outside Lands, and New York's Governor's Ball all rely on Clean Vibes, an organization that handles waste from start to finish. They're the people who ensure that the right stuff gets recycled, reused, and composted. Laura Son, the director of sustainability for Bonnaroo, credits them as the glue that holds Bonnaroo's entire waste management system together.
The first central piece of what we do is the work of our waste management team, which is the Clean Vibes company. They've been working on site since the beginning of the festival, day one, to sort and manage all of the waste that develops throughout the run of the build and then into the festival. So last year in 2013, we diverted the most waste we ever have in other years from the landfill. So that includes compost, recycling, and reusing. So that's a very central tenet to what we do, just because of the sheer number of people that we have on site and the fact that everything that's generated on site has to be removed from the site. So they do that throughout the run of the show, and then additionally they'll stay on after the festival for however long it takes, sometimes up to 2 weeks, to make sure that the grounds are pristine and ready to go for the next year.
Bonnaroo also runs Planetroo, a central hub of 26 nonprofits educating festgoers on various issues, as well as a learning garden, farm-to-table dinners, and more. They also generate solar power that returns to the Tennessee Valley Solar Power Board. A lot of the benefits and uniqueness of a festival come from its location, though the lay of the land is also a huge determining factor in how a fest tackles sustainability, as San points out.
there are some things that we do that other festivals don't, is that we actually own our property, which very few festivals across the country own the land that they work on, so we're able to create an on-site compost pad and leave all of our compost on-site, whereas if we were renting the property, we wouldn't be able to.
Governor's Ball, the three-day New York City-based fest out on Randall's Island, has its own set of challenges that come with its idyllic location.
It's a really unique, interesting site, because it's Randall's Island and there's a lot of restrictions on driving or not driving on the grass. So, you know, there was a lot more labor that was needed to, you know, get those trash and recycling and compostable bins from the middle of the field to the outside road, because you couldn't drive up to the bins. You had to, you know, actually have folks carry them over to the road. So a lot of additional labor, but, you know, they're all kind of self-contained and handled everything. And, you know, this is what they do. They're incredibly experienced and they're good at what they do. So it didn't really add a lot of work on my plate, if you will.
That's Tom Russell, one of GovBall's founders and director of operations. While Randall's Island's regulations make it a bit trickier to move waste responsibly, the city of San Francisco has made outside land sustainable efforts a lot easier.
The city just wanted to push the envelope of being a sustainable city. It just happened to coincide with the timing of our festival and what we're doing. But we have worked with them on this legislation that's being introduced currently that's going to ban bottled water from any public event or public property that the city owns and leases back. And it's a very progressive measure, and we've worked with them to outline our system and how we do refillable water and everything like that, and we've endorsed it and working with them to figure out solutions so that ultimately bottled water could be banned in the city of San Francisco.
The push towards waste diversion has worked well for these green-minded fests. Outside Lands diverted 84% of its waste in 2013, and Bonnaroo completely eliminated cups with reusable beer cups this past festival, and is working on sustainable lighting options for next year. However, as much as organizers say they can or want to do, they pull a lot of inspiration from what the fans themselves are asking for, be it reusable beer cups to water refill stations to locally sourced vendors.
As festival organizers, we pay attention to what our patrons ask us to do and what they kind of expect from us, and we try to deliver as much of that as possible. We have the green opt-in option in the ticket buying process where, in addition to the $1 mandatory fee, fans can decide to give us more money, and 100% of that money goes to sustainable site improvements or programs on site. And this year we had our highest level of contribution to that than we have since the first year that we implemented it. So we hear that, we hear it with their dollars, and then we also hear it with their online comments and feedback that we get, and try to respond to it as best and as much as we can.
Sometimes it's just that simple. If you ask for it enough, sustainability will come. For those of you heading to a festival before the summer's out, keep your reusable water bottles full and your eyes peeled for cool green initiatives. We'd love to hear your feedback. For Heritage Radio Network, this is Talia Ralph.
Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported nonprofit organization broadcasting over 30 live shows a week. To learn more and donate, visit our website or connect with us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram for more. Thanks for listening.